Hey, Matt, do you know people hate advertisements in their podcasts?
That's not true. That can't be true. That's not true.
I don't think it's true because we have advertisements in our podcast like Amazon.com, and people love our podcast and they never say anything about the ads.
Well, they love Amazon.com too, because who doesn't?
True. I mean, you could, for example, you can go to predictablydrunk.com and click on the Amazon link. It'll take you to Amazon.com and you can do all of your regular shopping with no hidden fees or no, you know, extra charges or anything like that. But, you know, it's crazy to me that people think that they don't like advertisements. Like, how do they think that we actually do all this? Like, how can we afford all that beer that we're going to review here in a couple of minutes without having advertising money that's rolling in from places like Amazon.com?
This is how the economy works, people. It's a goddamn shame that we're having to explain it to you this late in the game. Sponsorship equals money. Money equals beer. Beer equals this show that you love so much. Get it together. Click on the link, go to Amazon, shop your face off. The holidays are coming up. Shop your face off twice. Amazon.com, great sponsor.
Exactly. And you can get there by going to predictablydrunk.com. And basically, you guys can go buy economics books and figure out how the world works, because you guys that don't like advertising and commercials need to read something. And I guarantee there's probably an ad in those books that you're going to buy on Amazon.com by way of predictablydrunk.com.
Also, buy me something.
Buy Matt something. You should buy Matt something. And you know what? Buy me something, too. Buy Sam and Matt something.
We're so giving.
Amazon. Yeah, we give you free content. We give you recommendations on beer.
Give back.
We talk about movies and stupid drunken news and bring you interviews with people. It's a fantastic show. And all we ask is that you go to predictablydrunk.com, click on the link, and go do your shopping like you normally would. No hidden fees, no extra charges. All they do is give us a couple extra dollars off all the money that you spend over there because we reminded you to do your shopping. That's it. That's all you got to do.
We love you. Please do that.
Now that it's over, we can go on to the show, and you're only going to hear like one more commercial, and then you're going to get like an hour's worth of content.
Yeah.
So let's just play the music. Let's find Ross Baker, let him do his announcement, and then we'll get the show started.
You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux. And Matt Somerville.
Thank you, Ross Baker. Welcome back to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. And this is now officially a tradition, ladies and gentlemen. This is the episode that we started last year, Matt Somerville and myself. And we're starting it again this year. Well, not starting it. I guess we're continuing it this year.
Yeah.
Is that correct, Matt?
That's correct. Yeah. It's a tradition when you do it twice.
It is. So it is now officially a tradition. And this is, of course, we're talking about the Hatesgiving Day Parade. If you guys have been with us for a while, this was actually the episode that that got Matt his full-time gig, if you want to call it that, here on Predictably Drunk last year, because you just hate so many things.
Yeah.
That it was just like, we can't do this once. We have to do this over and over and over again, because Matt always hates something. And
I find new things to hate if you give me a year or a day.
A day, usually. Yeah, I'd say a year. If we held you back for a year of you complaining, you would explode, I think.
Yeah, and honestly, this list that I'm going to share with everybody, fractions, folks, fractions of the things that I hate. I'm sparing everyone else, honestly.
I'm going to have to curb his enthusiasm, if you will, which is a nice little plug for one of my favorite shows coming back for season 9. Shout out to Larry David and that whole group there, Curb Your Enthusiasm, coming back to HBO, but let's do that on another day. Here's what's on tap for the show. As you guys know, during Happy Hour, we will be doing the Hatesgiving Day Parade, where Matt and I will just rant and rave like lunatics about everything that we hate. You guys will look forward to that. Coming up on Stupid Drunken News, I'm just going to read the headline, Matt. You have not read this story.
No.
Man used 7-Eleven cooler as a bathroom. We'll go ahead and get to that after the Hatesgiving Day Parade, after Happy Hour. That's during Stupid Drunken News. Matt will say a movie thing, and of course, what's on tap right now, one of our favorite segments, and that is where we get to drink and review the beer that hopefully you guys will get to drink later based on our reviews. So, Matt, what's on tap for you this week?
Well, here's what I'm now realizing after having – has it been a year since I've been the co-host about that?
More or less. Maybe, I think we officially announced it in like January, but you were already on through December and everything else. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what I'm now realizing is that this show is thoroughly ruining my beer drinking experience, because now – you know, I can't review the same beer twice. Now I'm opening my eyes to weird, unique, stupid, gimmicky beers just to have something new to review for every episode that we do. So I was in the store the other day and I couldn't help myself. It's a Ben and Jerry's tie-in. It's New Belgium who makes the beer. It is a chocolate chip cookie dough ale. Wow. And yeah, I'm telling you, man, I don't even drink real beer anymore. It's just this fucking circus sideshow shit. Just so I have something new to bring to the table every episode. you know, I have some things to review for future episodes, and they are negative reviews. I dread the thought of having to buy that alcohol again just to review it. I'll get to that later, though. This, I was expecting the same thing. I was expecting it to be way too sweet. It wasn't. I think it was actually, and this may be the first and last time I'll ever say this, it was too little on the sweet side for a beer. I was expecting delicious, like almost like melted ice cream, but in beer form. And it's just barely a hint of what chocolate chip cookie dough tastes like. You can taste it, although it took me a couple swigs to even find the taste. It does taste like beer, so there's the benefit. But it doesn't taste enough like what Ben and Jerry's, what you would expect from Ben and Jerry's. If anybody's ever had Ben and Jerry's ice cream, they are the gluttons of ice cream. It's outrageous how flavorful and caloric their ice cream is. So I was expecting an outrageous beer. I didn't get it. Would I recommend it? Ha! That's how I feel. That's my rating.
I would assume that rating means that if you come across it and you've already listened to the show and you went, oh, I want to give it a shot and see what Matt's talking about, then by all means, go for it. It's not going to be the worst decision of your life, but don't go out of your way to actively find this beer either, correct?
Yeah, I would say if you're in a dry county and then someone's like, I have beer, but it's fucking cookie dough beer, you're going to drink it, but that's like, you know, you didn't have much of a choice.
Okay, I think that's officially a negative review.
Okay, that I said that, yeah. Okay.
If you're in a place that doesn't allow alcohol and this is the only one that I have, then go by all means drink it. Yeah, that's pretty negative, Matt, I would say on that.
Yeah, I mean, this against rubbing alcohol are your choices. You go with this, you know, so that's positive, sort of.
Yeah. I think, and I'm going to go back to what you said at the beginning of the show here. I think I'm going to call it your Christopher Columbus phase. And I ran into this a little bit, you know, probably about a year ago. And I've been doing the podcast a little bit longer and I'm a little bit older. So I've been drinking a little bit longer where you tend to find like, you know what, like Christopher Columbus, who's like, I need to find a new trade route to India, basically. Right. I got to go. I got to go explore. And that's what you're doing is you're going out and exploring, trying to figure out, you know, what's going to work in terms of balancing between something weird and obscure and at the same time not pissing you off and saying, geez, I'm spending money on shit I don't even like. My advice to you is, man, don't do that. Like we haven't reviewed that many beers. I mean, you could go review Budweiser and, you know, I would make fun of you, but,
of course. I want to be the guy who finds
that
jewel. And then shares it with the audience and I'm the one who helps shepherd you to finding that beer that you now love. And I am failing miserably at that so far.
Well, and to your point, I mean, I do that a little bit. In fact, the beer I'm going to review is one that I talked to you about a little over a week ago, if I'm not mistaken. I was at a little place in Morgan Hill, California called the Trail Dust Barbecue. Great barbecue, great staff, and they have all kinds of just beer on tap, just craft beer from all over the place. Every time I go into this place, which isn't too often to be honest, but when I do go in there, they always have something that I've never heard of before. So it's kind of my same thing that I was just talking to you about. It's almost like my little mini Christopher Columbus voyage every time I go in there. And I found a beer that to me should be called the Matt Somerville beer. And I think you know what I'm talking about. It's by a company called Cellar Maker. Cellar Maker is the brewery, and the beer is called Coffee and Cigarettes, which if you guys know Matt Somerville, that pretty much defined Matt from the age of 17 until probably right now. That has been his diet. Those are the two staples of his diet forever. Yeah. And on top of that, it's a porter, which is one of Matt's favorite types of beer. So it just seems to be about perfect. It's 8%. It's an 8% beer, so it's nice and hearty and hefty. Goes well with barbecue, I can tell you that much, because I had a nice chicken barbecue sandwich, and I had this porter. And I'm not big on porters, but the thing I liked about this is that it was actually very smoky. That's where the cigarettes come in.
Okay.
So it works well if you're going out with like a barbecue or something along those lines. It just pairs very nicely with barbecue sauce. It did not have the bite that a lot of porters do. It was, I would say it's very forgettable the second after you drink it. You know, sometimes you can taste it, you know, for a long time, you know, especially when with a name like coffee and cigarettes, it's something that stays in your palate, stays in your mouth for a very long time when anytime you consume either one of those things. And porter beer is kind of the same way, but it was not the case with this one, which sounds like I'm knocking it. I'm not. I actually like that. I appreciate the fact that I get the beer, I taste it, it goes down, and then I can move on with my life, and I don't have to remember that I just drank it over and over and over again. So I'm going to give it a modest thumbs up. It's not my favorite beer of all time, but it was unique enough that I ordered it, paid for it, and was satisfied with my decision. So Cellar Maker, coffee and cigarettes, porter, 8%. Find it wherever you can find it, I suppose. It sounds like it's better than the ice cream beer.
I mean, I think so. To me, of course, as we've established, that sounds great. But I think to most people, that may sound like someone has poured old coffee into an ashtray.
Yeah, and you know, again, to you and I, that sounds super appealing. to other people, maybe not. But that's kind of why I like some of these beers. And, it's almost like judging a book by its cover. I honestly got this beer because of the name. It hooked me, and I went, ooh, that's something a little bit different. I need to try that. So if you're dirty and scummy like Matt and myself and the rest of the audience here on Predictably Drunk, then by all means, you're going to catch that, and you're going to go, ooh, that appeals to me. But if you've got more of a refined palate, then maybe not. But who knows? That's why we do these reviews, ladies and gentlemen, so you can understand where we're coming from, where our mindset is, and then you can go make an educated choice.
And just so you people know a little bit more about Sam and I, that's typically the symbol for how a weekend in Vegas would end for us, is old coffee in an ashtray.
Absolutely. You and I have been to Vegas together, and I think that's exactly how the weekend ended the last time you and I were in Vegas together.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Vegas, there's lots of things about Vegas that I hate. So why don't we transition over to Happy Hour, unless you've got anything else to say?
No, let's do it.
Let's just get to Hatesgiving, ladies and gentlemen.
Hell yes. Need to vent. Who's going first here?
Well, let me explain the rules for the new viewers, because we have been getting new viewers, and thank you guys very much for listening to the show, supporting this, and supporting everything we do here on this podcast, as well as what I do out in the comedy world and what Matt does in the movie world. We will get to Matt Says a Movie Thing after Hatesgiving. This is what happened. So last year, myself, Matt Somerville, and a friend of ours, Steve Curry, who's been on the show many times. In fact, the last time he was on the show was the first annual Hatesgiving. Yeah. We were sitting outside of my mom's house a couple days after Thanksgiving with a couple of microphones, freezing our asses off, and in Northern California, and just muttering to ourselves about everything that we hate. And it turned out to be one of my favorite episodes of all time, because we just ranted and raved, like lunatics, about everything that we don't like about society, everything that was bothering us right then and there. I think we complained about popcorn. I think we complained about Matt not having to struggle too hard to get into the movie industry. We all kinds of things that we complained about.
Yep.
And I decided right then and there that we're going to do this again and again and again. And here we are in the second year. So I'm going to start, actually, Matt. So with that being said, and there's no rules. We don't have any topics or anything that we've discussed ahead of time, folks. It's just shit that comes to our head that we hate. We rant about it, and then we move on. It's like therapy for everybody. So the first thing I'm going to talk about, and the first thing that I hate, is the fact that we are doing this for the second year, and Stephen Curry is not here with us. To keep tradition alive. So we're actually already changing tradition after the second year, or on the second year, because that idiot had to quote unquote work and save people's quote unquote lives. So now it's just the two of us instead of three of us at Hatesgiving.
Stupid.
It is stupid. Very stupid.
Not a good reason. All right. Well, what's the first thing that you hate this year, Sam?
Well, the first thing that I hate this year was the thing I just said, Matt. And I also hate the fact that you didn't pay attention to what I just said, because I
thought that was an aside. we weren't starting yet. God damn it. It's way too technical for the second time we're doing this.
We had definitely started. I had already
brought it in.
Bad. So that was number two, is the fact that you don't listen.
Okay. I'm just trying to help you with your list. That's all.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, on the note that you had mentioned Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back, I don't hate that, by the way. I absolutely love that. Larry David is probably my father. And I couldn't be more thrilled about something coming back. Something I don't love that has come back into all of our lives, Gilmore Girls.
Mm.
Fuck me, man. That show never needed to be around in the first place. I don't understand how the hell it got so popular. It is a series full of cast members who have nothing to say, yet this show manages to have more dialogue than anything else on television in the history of the medium. It's fucking ridiculous. I've heard that, you know, just for reference, folks, a typical movie anywhere between an hour and a half to 2 hours is maybe 110 to 130 pages of script. That's how long the script is. TV shows, usually 30 to 60 minutes. I believe Gilmore Girls is an hour long. I've heard that their scripts are 200 plus pages because of all the goddamn talking. And for characters who have fuck all to say, they sure do talk a lot. It's ridiculous. And it's just a whole lot of nothing. But, you know, that's worked for me before with Seinfeld. Did not work here. I could not give a shit less about anything than I care less for Gilmore Girls. That is the rock fucking bottom of the well.
To steal a line from the great Jeremy Curry, women, you know what men want? Constant communication. And that's what this Gilmore Girls sounds like to me. 200 pages for an hour long show. Are you fucking kidding me? That it's supposed to be like a page for a minute of television. Like, how does that happen?
The end of most commercials on the radio where they have to cram a shit ton of legal talk into the 30-second spot that they have, and they only have 2.5 seconds left. I feel like most episodes of Gilmore Girls is that guy.
Ugh. Yeah, oh, that's awful. Yeah, and shout out to Mean Dave, who has not been on this podcast. He'll be on here before too long. Mean Dave actually lost a lot of friends across all of his social media pages because he decided to live tweet and rewatch all of the Gilmore Girls seasons of the past and just go through on Facebook and Twitter and everything else and just do play-by-play for all episodes of every season leading up to this re-release. And I don't think he has any friends anymore. So
I would unfriend him. Yeah, that's a nightmare.
Yeah, Mean Dave's a prick though, so he did it. I think you get people to unfriend him, and it was hilarious. So
not just a clever name.
No, it's short for Meaningful David, and he's going to be pissed that I told everybody that. But that's what it is. Speaking of Jeremy Curry, speaking of Mean Dave, speaking of comedians in general, that's a great segue because one of the things that I hate more than life itself, ladies and gentlemen, are stand-up comedians. I happen to be one myself, and I hate myself for that because stand-up comedians are the most sensitive, idiotic, unreliable pieces of shit that walk this earth. I have a couple of them that I consider to be friends. I mentioned a couple of them already. There's a few more that I'm going to put aside for the sake of this topic. But for the most part, if you walk it up to somebody and you ask them what they do for a living and they mention that they are a stand-up comedian, you have my permission here on Predictably Drunk, Smart People Talking About Stupid Things, to headbutt them in the throat. Fuck those people. Fuck stand-up comedians. Don't go to any of their shows other than mine, of course. Let these people rot out on the sidewalk forever. They are terrible, terrible people. They're not even people. They're subhuman, these people.
Do you have an example? We could be vague about it. We don't have to name names.
No, I mean, it's not one thing, Matt. It's all of these things. And it gets to that boiling point where it just spills over. Like, I've been booking shows for a while. I produce shows. I do shows. I like to make sure that I'm on time. I like to make sure that I'm giving my effort. I'm doing the time that I've been given. I've had to cancel on less than one hand the amount of shows that I've had to cancel. And every single time I've had to cancel or postpone, I have called the booker ahead of time as quickly as I possibly could, apologized profusely, come up with solutions for somebody who could take my place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Otherwise known
as you should,
doing business the right way.
As you should.
As a producer of shows, oftentimes you are counting on these people, these maniacs, to show up and do what they said to do. A lot of times when you produce shows, Matt, especially for comedy clubs, I'm not reaching out to these comics, especially the local ones. They're reaching out to me saying, hey, can I get on one of your shows? Can I get on one of your shows? And if I don't know you, the chances are the answer is no. But if I take a shot out and say, hey, look, I'm going to give you a shot to be on one of my shows because, you know, shit, why not? And then 2 days before, after I've been promoting the show for a month of you being on there, you say, hey, I don't know if I can make it or not. No, fuck that. Fuck you. You can't do that. You can't do that and continue to get work. It's not going to work, at least not for me, because you couldn't even give me a definitive answer of whether or not you're going to be there or not. Oh, also, comedians who book shows and tell you they're going to pay you one thing and then pay you something completely different, and it's usually not in your favor, that's just horrendous as well.
That's so a there's nightmare.
And it's not one or two times. This happens all the time. It's part of the business. It's the nature of the business. And it's led me to this point right now on Hatesgiving, Matt, where I say I hate comedians.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. And I am a little confused, but I think I do understand, you know, because you are one yourself. But I've known you for a long time, and I know that you're a reputable man when it comes to business. And I'm not at all surprised others cannot handle themselves in that that same regard.
Now, granted, I did cancel on you here recently without ever calling you.
That's true.
So, yep. You know, but that's a friendship. That's not
– That wasn't business. Just you being a bad person in general.
That's me being a bad friend, sure.
Yeah.
But not a bad businessman.
So, okay. Moving right on. Excuse me. That was the that was very cookie dough-ish, the burp. I wish the beer was a bit more like the burp. So another thing that I hate in the theme of Thanksgiving – pertaining to the overall Thanksgiving meal, the idea of the Thanksgiving meal, you have your turkey, your stuffing, your mashed potatoes. The thing that doesn't work for me is the fucking cranberry. Mm. You have a lot of these things that are very savory, very salty. You have your meats, you have your seasoned stuffing, you know, you get the gravy with the mashed potatoes. If you're an asshole, you throw down some carrots or something. But those three things are the staple of a traditional Thanksgiving meal. Unfortunately, there's this little bastard fourth cousin that is cranberry, and it just doesn't fit in at all. It's in color. It stands right the fuck out. It looks like someone miscarried on your plate. The consistency is disgusting. And it doesn't know cranberry. Of the berry family, cranberry does not know what it needs to be, what it wants to be, what it is. It's not sweet, cranberry. Cranberry is bitter as shit. I guess one could argue that it cleanses the palate of the other delicious things that you're eating. Well, why the fuck would you want to do that? It's delicious. Turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes with gravy, all delicious things. Why would you want to cleanse that? Eat more. Just continue that palate. Cranberry is so unnecessary, disgusting.
It looks like somebody miscarried on your plate will live in infamy on this show. I have never heard of such a disgusting description of food in my entire life.
Have I ruined cranberry for you?
I mean, I don't hate it as much as you do. I would say I dislike it, but this isn't just dislikesgiving. This is hatesgiving. So it makes sense as to why you brought that up. Absolutely.
There it is.
So, well, speaking of family, one of the things that I hate, this came up here recently, I hate other parents. In particular, I hate the other parents that go to the preschool that my daughter goes to pick up their kids, because I run into them and they just immediately accost me and put me in very uncomfortable situations. Like, I'll give you one, for example, Matt. I went in there and this lady goes, oh, you're Chloe's dad. And I'm like, yes, I am. And I'm thinking, oh my God, she did something to her kid. What do I do? And she's like, oh, well, we should have play dates on Saturdays and Sundays. When are you available? Because my kid doesn't get along with anybody other than your kid. And I just looked at her and I'm like, I am not that dad. Like, I don't know who told you about this, but I am not the play date dad. This is not going to work. I gave her a fake number, which worked until I ran into her again, and she's like, what's wrong with your phone number? So then I gave her the phone number to the mother of my child, and let her deal with that shit, because that's not fair. You can't You can't just accost somebody as an adult and say, let's be friends. Like, that doesn't work. I'm not that guy. That I would not do that to you on the street. You should not do that to me at the house or the preschool that my kid is going to. It's not fair. The other thing that happens quite a bit when you're around other parents is that they have to brag about how good their kid is, which makes me feel like shit, because my kid is great, don't get me wrong, but she doesn't have any discernible skills yet, Matt, where I'm like, wow, that means she's going to be a doctor or anything like that. And quite frankly, I don't think these other kids do either. I think their parents are full of shit. But they sit there and they brag like, oh, you know, little Billy's so good at math, I bet you he's going to be a scientist one day. Or the twins are so fucking fast, they're probably going to be Olympic athletes one day. And then, and then they all look at me like, okay, what's up, dude? What's your kid's superpower? And meanwhile, like, my kid's the one that got the reason why there was an email that went out to all the parents last week because of a kid grabbing all the other kids' crotches. I'm like, that's me. That one's mine.
Yeah.
Which means she's probably going to be president one day. But that's a show for another day. That's what I hate, other parents.
This is something that I can actually finally relate to, not to the extent that you can, of course, but I have started taking my child to daycare, and I immediately started noticing how goddamn overly friendly these other parents are, and it's simply because my child and your child go to the same daycare.
Yep.
We would not speak otherwise. We would have nothing to say.
Correct.
We are not friends.
Nope.
Because we both have children.
Yeah, congratulations. We fucked around the same time. I mean, that has nothing to do with anything else. Millions of people did the same exact thing that we did at the same time. Just because you live somewhere nearby and you have a child the same age as mine does not mean we need to be friends. It's a horrible way to meet people. It's so forced. I don't know. I can't stand it.
Yeah, no, it's very strange. And, you know, the people that I consort with, so to speak, they are nice. They are nice. But it's just the strangest concept to me, that whole thing of like, let's be chatty. Let's introduce ourselves. I need to know your name because our children go to the same place at 7:30 in the fucking morning. Like, that's retarded. Just drop them off and go do your thing, man.
That's the other thing. They're either hitting you up first thing in the morning or at the end of the day when everybody's wiped out and my defenses are down. I just agree to do shit that I know I'm going to flake on later. It's terrible.
Yeah, you just want to get out of there. You just want to get the hell out of there. Yeah,
it is. It's true. Sorry. Well, name a couple things you hate.
Yeah. Let's take a look at it. Okay. Oh, this is good. This is good. Another show thing. Where someone comes to me and says, listen, you have to watch this show. you have to watch this show. And I'm like, okay, why do I have to do that? And they're like, it's so good. It's the best thing. It's not even the best TV show. It's just the best thing. They sell it to you like it's like fucking life and death. Like, they're going to lose their soul if you do not watch this show, right? And you say, okay, fine. And you do it. And you watch the first episode and it's not that great. And you go back to the person and they ask how it was. And they're like, well, you say it wasn't that great, honestly. They're like, well, it's a pilot. You can't really be hard on the pilot. It's the pilot. And I'm like, okay, well, I thought the best show would encompass the pilot too. But fine, whatever. Okay, I'll watch the second one. You watch the second one. It sucks. It's not even – the pilot trumped this one. So you say to yourself, I don't think this is for me. That person finds you, comes, knocks on your door, says, how was it? You say, honestly, it wasn't that good. And they're like, oh, you know what? Listen, it does take a few episodes to get good. And right there and then, done. Just fucking done. That's so stupid. If you have a TV show, if you have a series, you are selling. You are selling something. You are trying to get somebody to watch this show. You should fucking lead with your best foot forward if you are trying to sell this show. No one's going to start watching a show in season two when it gets really good. Like, that doesn't happen. You want to watch it from the beginning so you know what the fuck's going on. And if it's not good from the beginning, fuck that show. That's it. I don't want to know that a show is really great in season three. That, to me, is not a show that exists. You can just stop telling me about it. I hate it.
This is because I asked you to watch Westworld, isn't it?
God damn it, yes.
One thing that I hate, this probably might be the last thing that I hate. I mean, my list of hate was very short this year because I had a really good year. But good. I hate Big O Tires. I hate that organization. I hate that company. I hate everybody that has anything to do with them. Reason being is I got a flat tire here recently, and I have learned to avoid Big O Tires. I will go to a local tire shop. I will go to Les Schwab. I'll go to America's Tires. I will promote any other tire shop other than Big O Tires because over the years of getting flat tires, they have never been able to help me. I went in there one time with clearly a flat tire, and they told me I had no flat tire. I'm like, so why is it flat then? Why? And they're like, well, it's just it has no air. It's not flat. I'm like, are we doing a geometry lesson right now? Fix the fucking tire. Shut the fuck up.
It's airless. It's not flat.
I want to headbutt you in the throat like I told other people to do to comedians earlier in the Hatesgiving. Recently, the day before actual Thanksgiving, I was at a comedy club. I walk out to my car and I have a flat tire, like completely flat. I'm like, shit. Mm-hmm. I fill it back up. I have about an hour. My logic, I go to the bar and I wait. I drink a beer. I go out. It's flat again. I go, okay, I have about an hour. Fill it back up again. Drive it home, go through the whole Thanksgiving thing with family, friends, all that. Friday morning, I drive. Well, I pump up my tire again. I drive it to Big O Tires. I tell them it's flat. I say it's the passenger, or no, I'm sorry, it's the driver rear tire. They're like, okay, no problem. About 5-10 minutes goes by. They come out and they go, we can't take your spare off. How do we get your spare off? I'm like, aren't you a tire person? Like, this is your job. So I show them how to do that, and I tell them, and I remind them, because I said it when I dropped the car off, look, you can't even use the spare because I already got a flat tire that I changed myself. The spare is already in use. The tire that's underneath that you're trying to free is already flat. And they're like, yes, we know. We just want to use the wheel so you have all four matching wheels. I'm like, cool, fine. I go get something to eat. I come back. All four tires are full. I pay the money that I need to pay. I go on with my life. I go out to my car later that day, Matt. This is the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
And the same damn tire is completely flat to the ground again.
No.
And I'm incredulous at this point. I go to dinner with my girlfriend, and the entire time I'm just like, how stupid do you have to be to replace a flat tire with another flat tire? Like, how does this even happen? So I go back to Big O Tires in the morning, and I did have a new tire. I had a new tire on there. The problem is they replaced a good tire with a good tire, and they replaced the flat tire with the other flat tire that I had in storage underneath
God
the car.
Damn it.
So I go back to Big O on Saturday after all of this. Now, I had the flat tire on Wednesday. It's now Saturday. And I go in and I walk in and I look at the guy, and he's the same guy who worked on my car the day before. And he's like, what are you doing here? I go, you changed the wrong tire. And he goes, damn, I hate when that happens.
Come on. No.
Like, you literally have one job. Take tire off, put new tire on. How does this happen more than once? Like, I don't understand why this is even a thing that can happen to the point where you're frustrated at how often it happens. Like,
there are four elements that you have to consider when working at Big O Tire. That's left rear, right rear, left front, right front, occasionally five if you have to worry about a spare. And that's fucking it.
Well, the thing that bothered me, I'm like, so you replaced it with the spare that I told you couldn't use because that one was already flat, right? He goes, right. And I said, so why did you do that? You had to have seen that it was flat. He's like, well, I figured you just made it flat for storage purposes. I'm like, who the fuck would do that? Who the fuck would purposely flatten out a tire to stick it in? It made no sense. I'm like, you're fired. And he's like, well, you don't work here. You're not my boss. I'm like, I don't care. You're fired. Like, fucking leave. Don't touch my car.
I'll take over. Yeah,
So fuck Big O Tires is what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. All right, well, if that was your last thing, oh, man, I had quite the list. I'll just rattle off a couple bullets here and then end on my big one. Let's see what's here left on the list. Let's see. We got to – oh, if I'm in the bathroom and the door's shut and the light's on, I don't need you knocking on the fucking door to check to see if someone's in there. There's no more indication than I can give that I am occupying the bathroom than shutting the door and turning on the light. If it's visibly lit, do not knock on the fucking door. There's someone in there. There's no mystery left. Okay? I hate it. Auto-tune. I don't even need to say anything about that. It's fuck auto-tune. We don't need it. That's stupid. People who don't listen and just wait for their turn to talk again, that could be.
that was you at the beginning of Hatesgiving, which, yep. By the way, I'm going to put all of your entire Hatesgiving list in auto-tune in post-production.
As you should. I did that to you for sure. But the big one is, and I think at this point, considering the episodes, considering the things that I've voiced hate for, and definitely considering the latest, one of our latest episodes, which was What If We Were President, I am probably well known for not enjoying driving in Los Angeles. Most of my hate is derived from things I experience from other people whilst driving here. The thing I've been dealing with in 2016, probably all my life, but all my driving life, but it just seems to really be cropping up lately, is the wave. I don't know if you're familiar with the wave. I hope most of you are. Sam,
when you're at sporting events, and
no, incorrect. No, that's not happening on the road, thankfully. Although it would explain a lot of driving behavior here. If they're just fucking throwing their hands in the air like they just don't care, instead of keeping them at 10 and 6. Or 10 and 2. It's 10 and 6 in Canada. I'm from Canada. I have that excuse. 10 and 2. That would explain a lot. But no, the
10
wave.
And 6. What kind of fucking steering wheels do you have in Canada? That makes no fucking sense.
I'm on cookie dough beer number fucking 9. I think.
Are they turning left? I mean, I don't get it.
The wave is when something does something wrong on the road. It's clear as day wrong, and they fucking know it's wrong. Because they do the wave, and they know, not only do they know what they've done is wrong, they know exactly who they've wronged in this offensive thing that they've done, because they fucking see that person that they fucked over, and they do this little, hey, thanks for dealing with my shit. I just wanted to do a U-turn in a fucking four-way intersection. Thanks. It's okay. And to suggest that everything that you've just done is acceptable because you fucking waved like a dummy, that's not okay. That's not okay. That makes it far worse. Just be a dick and flip me off. Like, just make it clear that you know what you were doing. You knew what you were doing the whole time. You came across a situation and you said, you know what? Fuck it. I benefit from this situation if I just fuck over everybody else. You do the deed, you flip the bird, and you peace the fuck out. Like, I would be happy, I think. This would be a different kind of episode. This would be happy-sgiving if that happened more often. I mean, like, what the fuck? What if you ran somebody over and you murdered the shit out of them and you fucking, you just waved at the goddamn corpse. Like, no, it's okay. It's not murder anymore. Like, you're getting away with it. Fuck off.
It's like they're waiving their responsibility of their actions at that point. Like, they don't have to do anything anymore. Yeah, no more consequences. They just waved it away.
And you know that person is going to continue down the road thinking, no, that was fine. I'm going to, and they're going to do the wave again because they think that that's it. That's a clean slate, man. The wave just fucking waved it all.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Hatesgiving is officially over. We are moving on. And thank you guys. This is the second annual Hatesgiving Day Parade. I thought it was a success. And
I loved it.
Let's just all go home now. All right. Here on Stupid Drunken News, Matt, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. I'll just reread the headline. Man used 7-Eleven cooler as a bathroom. The co-headline, or the byline, if you will, suspect 46 failed in search for restroom. This is a story that happened earlier in November. I'll give you one guess as to what state this happened in.
Florida.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. It happened in Florida. It always happens in Florida. Stupid Drunken News headquarters is based out of Pensacola, Florida. It doesn't end. I'm just going to go ahead and read it because why not? Unable to locate the restroom at a 7-Eleven, a Florida man opted instead to relieve himself in the store's walk-in cooler where a stack of Busch beer was defiled by tipsy suspect. By a tipsy suspect police charge. According to cops, Daniel Colon, 46, entered the Treasure Island convenience store around 7:30 p.m. on Saturday looking for a bathroom. When the search failed, Colon opened a door marked employees only. He then entered and turned out to be the 7-Eleven's walk-in cooler. He began urinating on several cases of beer. A store employee who had spotted cologne entered the cooler, confronted him, and told him to stop. That's not fair. I mean, once you start peeing, you can't stop. I mean,
he's already done the thing. He's already done the damage.
The best part is cologne then left the store and drove away. Like, didn't wash his hands, didn't even give a courtesy wave, just walked right the fuck out of there. Cops reported he urinated over 6 cases of Busch Light, causing the store a loss of nearly $100. Cologne was subsequently arrested after his vehicle was pulled over by cops searching for the 7-Eleven suspect. In addition to criminal mischief and burglary charges stemming from the cooler urination, Cologne was also charged with drunk driving.
Of course.
After being read his rights, Cologne reportedly told police he could not find the bathroom, so he entered the walk-in cooler. That is the epitome of stupid drunken news. It's very stupid. He was very drunk, and he peed all over Busch Light. So I think he checks all the boxes.
I think 7-Eleven's kind of trying to pull like a little my neck, my poor neck after the car accident bit there with the $100 charge. Fuck that Busch Light. 6 yep. cases of Busch Light amounting to $100. Get the fuck out.
Yeah,
that's 6 cases for $6.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's Busch Light. I mean, basically, he pissed Busch Light onto Busch Light. You can't get mad at a guy for peeing out the same product that he's peeing on. I mean, it's Busch Light is terrible. They should be paying him $100 to pee on it, quite frankly.
If anything, he made it better.
These are trumped up charges. We're on your side, Daniel Cologne, 46 of Treasure Island, 7-Eleven land, or whatever the fuck this is. But Florida, man, why the fuck is Florida allowed to continue to just bathe and feed itself? Like, we have to put that into a special school at some point, right?
I mean, I think I think if we ever have a final Hatesgiving episode, it'll be dedicated entirely to Florida. I've never even been there, and I will die before I go because of the lauded Florida man. If anybody's familiar with that, several newspaper articles, you know, online articles, they often start with Florida man and then continues with does something fucking stupid. you know, California, I think recently, because of the Trump election, was talking about annexing themselves from the rest of the country. I think we should just circumcise Florida from the rest of the fucking, you know, from the mainland.
Florida just, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. That's what, it is what it is. But that is stupid drunken news. And the last thing to do here before we leave is for Matt to say a movie thing. So Matt, say your movie thing, sir.
So, you know, after a lot of hate, that was a good chunk of hate. I think well extended into stupid drunken news even. I'm gonna end on a happy note. This is a movie that is themed with the holiday, and it is a movie that I have made a tradition of watching every Thanksgiving. Every single Thanksgiving, no matter what, no matter what I'm doing, I make this happen. Whether or not I remember my DVD copy, or if I have to buy a new one, or I have to rent it on Amazon, Thanksgiving does not happen without me watching this movie. It is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Starring Steve Martin and John Candy. I want to say 89-90 was the year that it came out. Long story short, it is Steve Martin, who's in New York a couple days before Thanksgiving, trying to make his way back home to Chicago, where many John Hughes films are based. This is a John Hughes movie, by the way. Breakfast Club and Home Alone, Pretty in Pink, Sweet 16, all that shit. 16 Candles, I mean. He runs into a lot of trouble, basically. There's a shit ton of traffic going back to Chicago, trying to get home, doing the same thing. Runs into this bumbling buffoon of a man, John Candy, and they just get paired up in trying to get Steve Martin back home to Chicago in time for Thanksgiving. And they are two complete opposites. They play off each other so well because Steve Martin is just someone who would really do a great Hatesgiving episode. Let's just put it that way. And John Candy is an insufferable jackass, but is also lovable and so fun to watch. And the way they just go back and forth and the antics they get into, and they do indeed hop on planes, trains, and automobiles in an attempt to get Steve back home for Thanksgiving. Wonderful. terrifically funny. The comedy holds up even today, and that's not just a nostalgic thing for me. I know a lot of people who have watched it for the first time this year, and they adored it, and they laughed their asses off. I cannot recommend this enough. You should make a tradition to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's the Thanksgiving movie.
I recommend you get on the couch, you get a couple of pillows, you put your hands inside of those pillows, and you watch this movie. It is absolutely a classic. I would not disagree with you there. And it's been a long time since I've watched that movie. I got to sit down. It's probably on the USA Network right now. They play that thing every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
No, it's a great movie and two comedic geniuses in there. I mean, it's got to be the easiest job John Hughes ever did. Like, he just basically went, okay, action. And just let those two do whatever it is they wanted to do. I mean, John Candy and Steve Martin, my God. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that. But that is a fantastic movie. You know, it's perfect to have a Thanksgiving movie here on the Hatesgiving episode right after Thanksgiving proper has finished. Matt Somerville, Sam Marcoux, Predictably Drunk, Smart People Talking About Stupid Things. One thing we did not bring up, however, is the fact that we both hate Ross Baker.
Oh, yeah. What a bitch.
Yeah, total bitch. 100% bitch mode. I mean, if Marshawn Lynch is beast mode, then Ross Baker is bitch mode.
Has he ever responded to the constant abuse?
I don't know. Ross, do you have anything to say that based on Matt's constant abuse of you here?
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, Smart People Talking About Stupid Things, with your host, Sam Marcoux, and that other guy. What was his name again? Oh, it doesn't matter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and find the complete catalog on predictablydrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking. Passenger, that's pale, rusted. I don't think that any